Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew, please, chapter 6. I don't believe we'll be covering really any great new ground this morning, but it's always good to be reminded of what the Scripture says. In the first teaching of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that's recorded in the Scriptures, it's called the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount teaches God's people really how to live in light of the coming kingdom of God. Teaches you the blessed attitudes. They call them Beatitudes, but you could call them the blessed attitudes. You want to have an attitude, these are the ones you ought to have. All right, and if you live that way, it's also translated how to be happy. This is how to live a happy life. Those blessed attitudes really allow you to have a blessed and fruitful and happy life. But I don't want to cover those this morning. I want to focus in on one aspect that the Lord taught concerning prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9, it says, "And after this manner, therefore pray you, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I don't want to teach all of the Lord's Prayer, although it's certainly a subject that could really be taught in Christianity. First of all, who did Jesus tell us to pray to? The Father. That's something that seems to have gotten missed over the years. But in this wonderful verse, in these verses, and I believe, he says to his people just before this, don't use vain repetition in verse 7. As the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be you not therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. You know what vain repetition is? I repeat my prayers a lot. I pray for my wife, for my children, for my church, for God to provide the food on my table. I mean, I've prayed those prayers repetitiously many, many, many times through the years. I mean, really a lot. I couldn't even put a number on it. But that's not vain repetition. Praying for the same thing is not vain. It's vain when you no longer think about what you're saying. That's when it's vain. When it's just repeating the same thing without thought, without, connecting. So remember that. God knows everything that you have need of before you ask him. He knows what you need. He still tells us to pray. He still tells us to pray, it says in Luke, the old woman that came before the unrighteous king and bugged him, nagged him to death until he would do what she wanted, just to get rid of her. That's quite a picture of prayer. I mean, I think every one of us has got a good picture of that from somebody in our life, right? That is how God wants us to come before Him. It's all the time with everything, and keep coming. But think about what you're saying. Think. You know, you're coming before the Almighty God, and you're bringing it before Him. You know, when Alberta prayed this morning that we all should pray before our feet hit the ground, right? Get out of our beds. Well, make sure you're awake enough to know who you're talking to. That's my problem. You know, it's like when I get out of bed, I don't even know anything. It's all just habit. And I don't know about you, some like my wife, oh, well, hey, the day is dawned and life is, I mean, she's good, you know, but not me. Make sure when you come to the Father, you're serious, you know who you're talking to, and this is not just vain repetition. And He will always welcome your words and your prayers. But if you start treating Him like He's a habit, that's a very different matter, okay? The categories in which the Lord said to pray in, and I think that these are categories. First of all, God's name is holy, to praise Him. Thy kingdom come. We're looking for that kingdom to come. We are praying and keeping in our heart and in our mind for that kingdom to come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Nobody's giving God a hard time in heaven. He's got a real hard time down here. And it's our prayers. And the Lord hears them. Just like I prayed that prayer about those who were in authority over other men's lives. It says that in Timothy. It says, first of all, and this is like top priority, and Timothy is written to the leaders in the church. The top priority is that we pray for all those in authority, all right, for kings and such. Didn't get too many kings lately, but we got presidents and we got prime ministers and we got dictators and every other thing out there, that we pray that we have quiet and peaceable life and all godliness and honesty. Because if we lose that, you know, like our peace was destroyed this week, right? And everybody else's hearts. 9/11 came again. The 11th anniversary, and we got attacked again, and everybody's uptight and upset, and rightfully so. Whether you understand it or not, it's spiritual, okay? It's spiritual. And for the work that I've done in the Bible and other people that I've respect has done in the Bible, September 11th, 3 BC was the Lord Jesus Christ's birthday. And that can be documented pretty well in the scriptures. I wonder why the devil always throws things up in God's face when it comes to that. Now, that's the work of a number of different men, different that have worked the Bible, have come up with that date. Whether it be so or not, the point is that all the stuff that goes on in the world is spiritual. There's evil. There's a lot of people who just don't believe that. They believe everybody can be dealt with. I don't. I believe what the scripture says. There are people who are righteous. There are people who are evil. There are people who are blank. You know, they're not quite sure which day they're on, but there are people that are just evil. In this prayer, we are to pray that God's will is done here on earth as it is in heaven. That's something you gotta, how? I am going to my Father and I am asking Him, Lord, I am praying. I desire that Your will is done here on earth as it is in heaven. Do you think about that part when you pray there? See, that's what I'm talking about. This prayer can be just as meaningless as any other that's not thought about. Give us this day our daily bread. I think we get that one, because you need to eat. And we ask the Lord to provide our food. We don't exactly tell Him how, although we normally know you need a job, right? But the point is, He's the one that supplies. He's the one that gives us the abilities that we have, the employment that's possible. He's the one that provides even if there is not a job at all. He will provide for His children. My prayer is that whatever I need this day, and I'm not just talking about food, whatever I need this day, my daily need, my daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. That's an interesting one. Temptation generally is a test, being tested. You're being coaxed. Let me see if you'll bite into this one. Temptations we are aware of. They come at us usually from the front. You know, and then they are a decision that you make, whether you take them or don't take them. The second one is something that you can't always figure out, and that's deliver us from evil. You can't tell when evil comes your way. Usually it surprises the heck out of you, blindsides you. You know, some drunk runs a stop sign. That's evil. There's a lot of evil out there, and the only one that knows what's coming and when is the Almighty. The only one. And that's why it says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Pray for God to deliver you and me and your loved ones from evil. Pray that God's will is done here on earth as it is in heaven. I know it will be that way when our Lord returns. There's no question, it's coming to pass. But I don't believe that Jesus Christ gave us this prayer to pray and these categories to pray in for just the future. Just to remind us, oh, don't worry about it, it's going to get taken care of at the end. I know it will be taken care of at the end. But I also need to consciously, with faith, express and keep these things in front of my heart to ask God to deal with it. And life and situations will always change. Things will change around you. People will change around you. You know, if it hasn't changed much in your life, don't worry about it. Wait around a little while, it'll change. You just trust God. But keep these things in your heart, in your mind. And don't allow them to become just thoughtless, vain. You know, keep them engaged in your heart and your soul. Keep them engaged in your prayers. That's just one reminder. One reminder. Go to Psalm 25th Psalm. It says, unto thee, O Lord. And you remember, every time in the King James, most of you got the King James, right? That's why I like to use it. Every time you see in the King James, capital L-O-R-D, what they tried to do in the King James is differentiate the different titles for God and his name. And what they did with capital L-O-R-D is that is God's proper name. It's Yahweh. You know, after the 6th century, they talked about Jehovah, but the word Jehovah never appeared anywhere until the 6th century. That's sort of like, I don't want to get into it. Point is, in the Hebrew, it's Yahweh. Okay? You know how you say hallelujah? Okay? Well, that's another title for God. All right? Yah, Y-J-A-H, is the God who is to be praised. The first time you see that is with Moses when they came across the river. They came across the Red Sea, and they sang to Yah. It's the first time the word ever is used. And it's all over the Psalms, hallelujah, all right, which is praise, that means praise Yah, praise God. But capital L-O-R-D is God's proper name. When Moses said to God, when before he was sent to Egypt, he says, what's your name? What am I going to tell them? He said, my name is Yahweh, the Lord, thy God. The Lord, it says, the Lord, thy Elohim, thy creator. Yahweh, thy creator. This is my name forever. So every time you read this, you know who you're dealing with, and it's personal. This is your father's proper name. Unto thee, O Yahweh, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. Show me thy way, O Lord. O Yahweh, teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. On you. We praise him. We come before him. We ask. When David was being chased for 25 plus years through by Saul. Remember, David was he was anointed king over Israel, and Saul was the first king, and God had said to the people, you know, they had rejected God, they had rejected Yahweh, God Almighty, and they wanted them a king. They had Samuel, was the prophet. Everything that Samuel did prospered God's people. He judged them correctly. There was no evil in Samuel. Samuel at the end of his life says, all right, I'm standing up before you. Anybody here got a problem with me? Have I done anything against anyone here? And they were silent, and he says, well, the Lord judge. And the truth was that Samuel was one of the greatest prophets and the last judge of Israel. And the people wanted a king. We want to be like everybody else, they said. And God gave them the best possible men. I taught this not that long ago. The best possible men that they could get out of that kingdom was Saul at the time. And yet, very shortly after Saul started, Saul didn't do the will of the Lord, wouldn't do the will of the Lord. And God removed from him the kingdom and gave it to another, a young man named David. And the Spirit of God was with David. And David was faithful to Saul, never hurt him, never screwed him, never did any evil against him. And yet Saul wanted to kill David in the worst way. And it said because he had an evil spirit. He turned from God, got himself a devil spirit, which is not hard to do. It's really not hard to get one of those. They're not hard to get rid of either, but they're not hard to get. I mean, just as many devil spirits that walked on the face of the earth, you know, in the days just after Noah, are still around. And Jesus was dealing with an awful lot of them in Israel when he walked. And you think that there is any less today? It's just that people are not aware, or they don't think in biblical terms. There was no reason to try to kill David, and yet Saul wanted him dead and chased him with his army for years and years and years. And it wasn't a pretty life. And David's praying to God. David's praying to God. And you know who his enemies are? Saul and his army. That's his biggest one. Then you got the Philistines and the Hittites and the rest of them. But the guy that's pursuing David day after day after day is the king of Israel. And he asked God, "Oh my God," verse 2, "I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemy triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause." That's a prayer. I don't think God's people think that they can pray this way. And I leave that with you as a thought. I believe you can. I believe that you should. In Psalm 35. Well, let's go to 31 first. Just do them in order. Psalm 31, verse 7. "I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble, and thou hast known my soul in adversity, and has not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble, and my eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing, for strength faileth because of my iniquity, and my bones are consumed." I mean, is David a man after God's own heart? Does he love the Lord? Is everything going really good? He's begging God to hear him, to help him, to deliver him from his own sin, from his own life, as well as his enemy. In Verse 12, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slanders of many. Fear was on every side, while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. Many times are in thy hands. My times are in thy hands. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things, proud, contentious against the righteous. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Those are prayers I believe can be righteously prayed. I know some of the comment, I know, you know, people treat the Old Testament like it's one, you know, this is different, and the New Testament, everything changed. I don't believe that that's true. I believe David was as loving, as God-fearing, as anyone in the New Testament. I believe he laid it out the way it was. He brought it before God and laid it out before him. I think that when Jesus Christ looked at the high priest that had smacked him, you know, and when he said to that high priest, the next time you see me, I am coming in glory, I don't think that that high priest is going to be real happy to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he does come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's not coming back as the meek sheep that was the Lamb of God who had to die for the sins of the world. He's coming back in judgment. He's the same Lord. He came the first time to do one mission. He's coming the second time to do a completely different mission. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was the mission that was different. So evil will be dealt with. I believe that evil can be dealt with now in the righteous prayers of God's people. I believe that we are to ask God to deliver us from evil. And whatever that means, as far as how it's going to be done, I think you have faith that it will be. See, all prayers without faith are worthless anyhow. If you don't believe that you're supposed to pray for something, guess what? You don't. There are many Christians that believe you're supposed to be sick. You know, and God makes you sick. And, you know, how they got that, I'm not quite sure. I'm sure I could understand it if they explain it, but it's not what I read in the scriptures. Sickness happened, as far as I understand it, from the sin of Adam. Okay? Adam's sin, sick and death came into the world. Now, everybody is going to die. That the Bible says that too. We all run out sooner or later. But it also is the will of God for his people to go to him in prayer, to ask for his mercy. And many times God has given his healing mercy to those who have asked. So where they come up with, people believe stuff all over the place that's not necessarily in the Bible. And, you know, at the same time, there's no such thing as a bumper sticker answer to every question. Well, Lord wants everybody healed. Well, if that's true, then go to the hospital and empty it out. It's not true. It's by His mercy. It's at His choice, His time. It's not ours. It says that God works within you to will and to do of His good pleasure. When do people receive miracles? When God works within you to do it. Not when you decide, oh, that one's, I want to do that for that one. Twist it around. Do you follow me? Go to Psalm 35. Verse 26. Let them be ashamed that brought to confusion together, that rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor, and that magnify themselves against me. This is not David having a bad day. You know, I read a commentary on Galatians. A man is brilliant. I mean, there's no way I can match this man in, the academic sense. No way. But I read his, and he was talking about Paul, the verses where Paul was talking about those that stand against the gospel, they should be accursed. You know, and later on in Galatians 5, where it says that they should be cut off. The word cut off is mutilated, killed. Right? And the commentator said, well, Paul was having a bad day. Essentially. He said it in a much fancier way. But he was trying to do everything he could to excuse the Apostle Paul from saying such a terrible thing. I read the book of Galatians, and it says to me very clearly that this revelation was not received of men. Neither was it received of men, but it came to Paul by revelation of Jesus Christ. It's either one or the other. If what's in the book is David having a bad day, or Paul having a bad day, then how do I know they ever had a good day? Or is this the revelation of God and I got to change what I think and my perception of what's right and wrong and all the rest of it? Do you follow me? When we read the scripture, I read it and I teach it to you that this is the word of the Lord. Period. I may not understand every nuance of it. But if I do exactly what it says and trust Him, I've had a very, very thankful and blessed life. And He's continued to help me. I know that He has continued to help each and every one of you. And like I said, we're not always understanding everything. But if I allow myself to realize that verses like these are not to be thrown away, to be ignored. You know, like so much of Christianity today is about God's going to, you know, make you prosperous. He's going to take care of you. In other words, it's about you. And it's about everything being good. And if it's not good for you, then you must be doing something wrong. That's general message, isn't it, out there? TV land and all the rest of it. You must be doing something wrong if things aren't going your way. Is that the truth of the scripture, or is what I am reading a lie? Is David a faithful child of God? Is he an anointed king? Is he the one walking by the Spirit, but he's suffering? And how about Paul? He must have been a terrible fellow. They beat the heck out of him, night and day in the deep, cursed him, threw him out of town, stoned him. He must have been a terrible believer. If, you know, if the message that fills the big churches is correct. Not my job to fix them. I just point it out because there's a huge difference. And one is either right and the other one wrong or not. And you got to figure it out. You got to read the scripture, and I just want you to trust the scripture. Just don't take the pretty pages, the ones that you like to read. Read them all. You follow me? Go to James. I believe that we in the church have power. I believe that you and I are very, and I want you to hear this, you are very powerful individuals. Very powerful. You are not sheep. You are not just, what can I say, average. I believe that your prayers come before Almighty God, and that if you pray according to His Word, that God hears those, and your plea comes before Him, just like David's plea came before Him. It may take a while, but God's will, things are going to happen. No question about it. I believe that. I believe that those who need to be judged will be judged, and I believe that those that need deliverance and to be blessed will be blessed. My prayer is for, just like God's desires, for all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. But you and I and God have shown us in the scriptures that not all men will. But it's still His desire. That's my primary prayer. But those that, I have no problem praying for God to deal with those that would do His church harm, His people harm, my family harm. I have no problem with that. None. I told you to go to James. James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then it gives the example. Elijah was made subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave the rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. When God told the prophet, it's not going to rain, what did the prophet do? The prophet prayed to God that it wouldn't rain. He took the revelation. He had faith in it. And he says, it's not going to rain until you say it's going to rain. That's what God said to him. This man prayed, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. A lot of people got hurt with that one. But it was God's will and his judgment. And when God said to him, hey, it's time, he went and did his business, and he prayed. Remember the little cloud came? And then it rained and rained and rained. That's prayer. It's just one example. This is written in the New Testament to tell you that the stuff that went on in the old, it works. God just didn't rewrite the whole book. When Paul walked into a town and he was holding forth the scriptures, and a man got in his way from reaching out and blessing and delivering the word of God to, I forget the guy's name, but he was one of the judges in the town. He was one of the rulers. He says, hey, you son of the devil, go blind for a while. And he did. That wasn't very loving. This is the stuff I'm talking about. So if we judge it by today's standard, that's not very nice. But I don't care about today's standard. I care about the biblical standard. There's the difference. And that those kinds of things happen quite often. So consider that. Consider it as you read the scriptures. Be free in your heart to do what the scripture says. And not be bound to the standards that other people talk about. I don't care about the standards of the world. I care about God's. I don't care that people think that I'm a homophobe because I'm against gay marriage. That's their problem. I just believe marriage is between a man and a woman. That it was ordained of God, that that's how life works. Now, we're in America. Does everybody got the right to do what they want to do? Yeah, I don't want to sit around and legislate sin. But don't call it marriage. You can have all the rights you want as an American, and I believe that that's true and right and righteous, because I don't want to take it away from anybody. But don't call it marriage. That's spiritual. See, there's a difference. The world will tell you that the standards of the world, and it's all over the place. Oh, that's not very loving. You're not supposed to judge anything. Yes, you're supposed to judge. See, people who don't know scripture get stuff thrown in their face. Yo, I'm not supposed to judge anybody. Yes, you are. Well, it says, judge not lest you be judged. Read the context. Jesus Christ is talking to those who are in iniquity, who are doing the same thing, who are doing evil. And he says to them, take the beam out of your own eye. Then you can deal with the others. But don't be telling them what to do when you ain't got your own act together. There's a difference. Most people judge after the flesh, he said to the Pharisees. You judge after the flesh. If I judge, my judgment is true, he said, because I get it from my Father. Paul says in Corinthians, don't you know that you're going to judge the angels? How do you put all that together? Only if you read the Bible. Now, I know that I'm all over the place on this, but my point, all right, come back to the point. Point is, the scripture is true. Jesus Christ teaches us what the categories that we ought to be praying. Two of those main categories that I talked about that I was interested in this morning is that God's will is done here on earth, even as it is in heaven, and to deliver us from evil, which is something that God's people, his prophets, his kings, have prayed. And you should not be afraid of that. You should be free in your heart with faith to ask the Lord, what would you have me to pray for? And because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous individual avails much. Much. And the example that's given here is powerful. Very powerful. I believe that each and every, remember when Abraham, the angels came, visited Abraham, he gave him something to eat, and then the Lord said, well, I don't want to hide anything from Abraham or what I'm going to do. He's going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said to the Lord, he was the one making intercession for the people in the city. The only reason Lot's alive is because Abraham. And I think that's why Abraham was fighting for the city, was for Lot and his family. This 50, will you destroy the city for 50's sake, Lord? Nope, I won't destroy the city if there's 50 righteous in it. How about 40, 30, 20? How about 10? You got them all the way down to 10. God says, no, I won't destroy it. I mean, it's a fun record to read, right? But this is serious business. This is serious spiritual business. And then it said, and then the Lord was done hanging out with Abraham. It says the Lord left. Abraham didn't go. I'm done dealing with you. I'm out of here. You know, you going to ask me for two? I'm done with this conversation. I'm leaving. There weren't 10. Abraham says he had sons and daughters-in-law and sons-in-law. He lost most of his family. They may have had children, I don't know. Doesn't say. But it puts it all in the plural. What did he get out of it? Got left town, wife, two daughters. The wife didn't make it. She turned to a pillar of salt because she didn't believe. She turned back and looked. The daughters, they all made it up the hill. They head out in the cave. They went to the next little city over. And it didn't work out real well with them either. They thought the end of the world was coming, and then we ended up with the children of Moab. It didn't work out real well. Abraham prayed, and God was merciful unto Lot, who made the wrong decision by vexing his own righteous soul by hanging out with the unbelievers. But he was merciful to him, but it still paid a steep price for his decision to go there. Steep. But Abraham prayed. And if there's 10, God said he wouldn't destroy the city. How many are out there? I don't know. But they need our prayers. They need us to intervene. They need you, God needs you to intervene. You need to ask your Father, what should I pray for today? What would you have me request? Because this is the way it says it in the scripture. You can also pray your own, but pray and do it in faith. Do it in faith. Do it because you know it's true. Don't do it in anger. Don't do it according to the flesh. Do it as God's servant, as His child doing the will of your Father. If you keep that, you'll do just fine. You won't be led astray. So, that's what I wanted to share with you.